How powerful is Narsil, Elendil's legendary sword, the sword that was broken and reforged, the sword that cut the ring from Sauron's finger? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we cover The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, and much more. If you love in-depth discussion of great fantasy and science fiction, this is the place for you. Welcome. Narsil, the sword that was broken and reforged as Andúril, is probably the most well-known sword in Tolkien's legendarium. But was it magical or powerful in some way, or just a cool sword passed down generation to generation? Let's start by digging into what we know about the sword's history. When told to leave his weapon outside the hall of the King of Rohan, Aragorn, holder of the reforged sword, warned the guard not to touch it while he was gone, saying that Telkar first wrought it in the deeps of time. So it was first forged by Telkar, but who was he? He was a dwarf smith, one of the finest smiths ever known on Middle-earth. Hailing from Nogrod in the Blue Mountains, those are the mountains far off in the west of the map of Middle-earth we know, he was probably a member of either the Firebeards or the Broadbeams. And although we don't know huge amounts about him personally, his name crops up a few times in the legendarium, associated with some legendary items that he forged. For example, he forged the knife Angrist that Beren used to prize a Silmaril from the Iron Crown of Morgoth. That blade was apparently so sharp it cleaved through iron like it were green wood. He also made the dragon helm of Dor Lomin, which had several owners and was said to have a magical enchantment that made its wearer invulnerable to wounds and to strike fear into their enemies. Clearly, Telkar was a great smith, capable of forging not only strong but also magical items. And if the rumours are true, very powerful magical items, an enchantment, presumably via crafting runes, that makes its bearer invulnerable to wounds, is quite something. Telkar lived and died in the First Age of Middle-earth, an age Aragorn describes as the deeps of time. Curiously, Tolkien doesn't tell us anything about how Narsil got from Telkar's forge to Elendil some 3,000 years or more later, towards the end of the Second Age. But most scholars have speculated that this must have been one of the arms that Telkar made for King Thingol of Doriath, and it passed down the family line from there. Hence we hear about Telkar from the Elvish perspective, and hence his name appearing to be of Sindarin Elvish derivation rather than Khuzdul Dwarvish, because he was very clearly a dwarf. My best guess for what happened after that is that when Menegroth, King Thingol's underground city, was finally destroyed in the Second Kinslaying, Elwing, Thingol's great-granddaughter, escaped with the survivors and some of the treasure of Doriath. Narsil was probably one of those treasures. One of Elwing's twin sons, Elros, later became the first king of Numenor, and Elendil was a direct descendant from him. So we just need Narsil to be passed down from generation to generation for a while for it to end up with Elendil. Tolkien may not have told us exactly how it ended up with Elendil, but this is as good an explanation as any, and explains why it was considered such an important heirloom even then. So to be clear, although we first hear of Narsil in the Silmarillion in the hands of Elendil in the Last Alliance of Elves and Men, it will have been in the hands of his ancestors for millennia by then, and already was a famous sword. But it's only with the Last Alliance that we finally get a description of it. We read, "The sword of Elendil filled orcs and men with fear, for it shone with the light of the sun and of the moon, and it was named Narsil." Etymology obviously means a lot to Tolkien, so it's worth pointing out that the word Narsil comes from the Quenya, Elvish, for red and white flame, symbolising the sun and the moon, the chief heavenly lights as enemies of darkness, as Tolkien put it in one of his letters. And of course, it having an Elvish name backs up the theory that this made its way eventually to Elendil's line via Elros's elven heritage. The next we hear, obviously, is when Elendil was slain and Narsil broke under him as he fell. Then Isildur used the hilt shard to cut the ring from Sauron's hand. All in all, not a lot to go on in terms of understanding how powerful the sword was, but we can say some things. First, clearly Narsil was made in such a way as to remain strong and true for millennia, a noteworthy thing in and of itself, Most blades do not. Second, it's obviously super sharp, as it cut the ring from Sauron's hand. We don't have full details on what armour he was wearing, but it's probably fair to say that he was well protected. But third, and perhaps most intriguingly, there is magic here. The sword glowed, and it filled its opponents with fear. This latter ability sounds very similar to what we read about the Dragon Helm of Dorlomin, another of Telkar's creations, striking opponents with fear, so perhaps that was one of his specialities, imbuing something he forged with the ability to put fear in enemies' hearts. Tolkien's magic system is famously soft, to the extent that quite a lot of magic is presented as just working with nature, so we probably shouldn't seek to over-categorise this, but it was long-lived, sharp and strong, it struck fear into its opponents, and it glowed, seemingly like flames. Sounds quite powerful. But as long-lived and powerful as that sword was, it was not invulnerable. It broke. We're not told exactly how it broke, other than under Elendil as he fell. But if this is dwarf-made for an elf king and a Maia queen, as seems likely, if then its most famous owners were humans and its most famous use was to end the rule of a Dark Lord, then perhaps the power of the sword was as much in its symbolism as anything else. It represented the free peoples of Middle-earth, elves, dwarves and men, coming together in their opposition to the darkness. And for long years, where Narsil remained broken, its symbolic power was still there. Indeed, if anything, it was all the greater. It was one of the heirlooms of the kings of Arnor, then the chieftains of the Rangers of the North, evidence of the rightful king. Aragorn used it to prove who he was to Frodo and the hobbits, and the dream that came to Faramir and Boromir urged them to seek for the sword that was broken. After the Council of Elrond, the blade was forged anew by the smiths of Rivendell. We read this. On its blade was traced a device of seven stars sat between the crescent moon and the rayed sun, and about them was written many runes, for Aragorn, son of Arathorn, was going to war upon the marches of Mordor. Very bright was that sword when it was made whole again. The light of the sun shone redly in it, and the light of the moon shone cold, and its edge was hard and keen. And Aragorn gave it a new name and called it Anduril, Flame of the West. So, like the original, this sword shone brightly, and it was sharp. New runes and glyphs were placed upon it, as was a device of seven stars, the symbol of Arnor and of Elendil, and seemingly also an elven symbol that spoke of defiance of Morgoth. The new name Anduril again spoke of light, and again was in Quenya, a nod to its elven heritage. Interestingly, when Aragorn made it to Lothlorien, Galadriel gave him a scabbard for it as well. She gave him a sheath that had been made to fit his sword. It was overlaid with a tracery of flowers and leaves wrought of silver and gold, and on it were set in elven runes formed of many gems the name Anduril and the lineage of the sword. The blade that is drawn from this sheath shall not be stained or broken, even in defeat, she said. So Anduril is like the original Narsil, but now Galadriel is giving it a sheath that makes it invulnerable to breaking, even when its user has been defeated. In other words, she is making up for the sword's one big flaw. When Elendil was defeated, Narsil was broken. Even if Aragorn or his successors were defeated, Anduril would not be. The sword made complete. The sword and the hope it represented could no longer be broken. And what, may you ask, about that other ability that Narsil had, to fill its opponents with fear? Did Anduril have that as well? Tolkien doesn't tell us, but he shows us. When Aragorn stared down Sauron through the Palantir, this is what happened. Sauron has not forgotten Isildur and the Sword of Elendil, says Aragorn. Now, in the very hour of his great designs, the heir of Isildur and the sword are revealed, for I showed the blade reforged to him. He is not so mighty yet that he is above fear. Aragorn showed Sauron Anduril, and Sauron was afraid. Yes, Anduril strikes fear into the enemy like Narsil did. So what is Tolkien showing us with all this? Well, it's probably noteworthy, rather obvious, that Narsil needed to be broken for Andúril to be made. Indeed, Tolkien came up with the idea of having a sword that was broken connected to the returning king long before he came up with a name for it, or the idea that the original had been broken by Elendil, falling on it in defeat, or that it was made by Telkar. These are all important details, as are the powers that the sword has, but the most important thing is that it was broken and then reforged. It's as if Tolkien is saying that being broken is not always the end. The kingdom of Arnor itself was broken, the brotherhood between Arnor and Gondor. But the reunited kingdom emerged stronger and greater than before under Aragorn, like Narsil reforged as Andúril. And that surely must be true for people as well as swords and kingdoms, in this story and in our world. Being broken is not necessarily the end. You can be reforged, remade stronger and better and more complete than before. That's the true power of the sword that was broken. It was reforged, the same steel, but new. If you'd like to see more videos on the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.